Our next case for argument is Minga versus Holder, Ms. Baldini-Paterman. Where are you, Ms. Baldini-Paterman? Pardon?
Looking she for? Didn't expect us to go that fast.
Oh. She should.
Well, should have. Yeah, I think, yeah.
Poor little thing.
It's nice to just sit here.
Pardon?
It's nice to just sit here and rest.
Right. It's quiet.
It's quiet.
May it please the Court. My name is Maria Baldini-Poterman, and I represent Petitioner Minga in this case. This case essentially represents the issue of whether or not a pro se detained individual who made substantial attempts to comply with Lozada demonstrated compliance under this Court's precedent and under the matter of Compion, an Attorney General's decision.
But in view of his drug and gun convictions, on what basis do you think we have jurisdiction to review the Board's discretionary decision to deny him his motion to remand?
Your Honor, I do realize that the government filed a late 28J letter last Thursday. I did file a reply yesterday afternoon on this matter after I returned to town.
Did you get it?
What?
The court should have received it.
That's it.
And, Your Honor, Mr. Minga is not contesting the Board's determination regarding the IJ's decision on the merits of the claim, because this Court would not have such jurisdiction. But this Court does have jurisdiction over the issue of ineffective assistance of counsel.
What would a lawyer have done for him?
As Mr. Minga outlined in his motion to reopen, which essentially was a motion to remand, Mr. Minga did have evidence that he had made child support payments for his two U.S. citizen children. He also had filed his tax returns. These are issues that the immigration judge relied on the lack of evidence to deny his case for cancellation of removal. There were also additional letters of support that Mr. Minga had provided to the attorney that were not filed in this case. Under the Board's own precedent, the issue of filing tax returns and providing child support are two very important factors in a determination of whether an alien merits the discretionary relief of cancellation of removal. In this particular instance, Mr. Minga did outline in his complaint letter to Attorney Gerber a laundry list of issues that he felt the attorney should have done better in preparing him and submitting the documentary evidence that was required to support a grant of cancellation of removal.
But he'd committed 12 crimes.
14.
And this business of how somehow he was led astray by Miss Adams? Is that her name? What is that about?
Your Honor, the record demonstrates...
What's wrong?
A femme fatale? What?
Yes, Your Honor. There are some humorous parts in the testimony. And I think the record would also reflect that the testimony was not well prepared by the attorney who represented him below. He does have 14 arrests. He has 10 convictions on his record. However, of that laundry list of convictions, there are only two which are actually deportable offenses, the handgun and the possession of the firearm. He did demonstrate through the testimony of one of the church members that he has contributed to the community. There was other evidence through testimony by his parents of his support of his parents, again, which are critical factors in this case. So while Mr. Minga does have a long list of arrests and convictions, which are include traffic offenses, he did take steps to attempt to rehabilitate himself. Also, as demonstrated in his complaint to Mr. Gerber, or Attorney Gerber, he asked Attorney Gerber why the attorney never requested copies of his prison records or the demonstration that he had completed classes while in the Department of Corrections in Indiana. These are other pieces of evidence which demonstrate rehabilitation, which, again, is a factor under the board's precedent in determining whether an alien merits cancellation of removal. On one other note, these offenses that Mr. Minga...
What are the criteria for cancellation of removal?
In order to qualify for cancellation of removal, an alien must have been a permanent resident for 5 years, must have resided continuously in the U.S. for 7 years before committing an offense which renders him both deportable and inadmissible, must demonstrate he has not been convicted of an aggravated felony, and then finally must demonstrate that he merits a favorable exercise of discretion.
Is there a legal or constitutional question that his appeal presents?
The constitutional claim, Your Honor, that this petition for review presents is whether or not he received effective assistance of counsel.
Well, that's not constitutional. That's the LOSADA. That's just a rule adopted by the Immigration Service.
But matter of LOSADA, Your Honor, the board acknowledged that the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution is implicated in deportation or removal proceedings.
What does that mean? Are you saying there's a constitutional right to a lawyer in a deportation proceeding?
No, Your Honor, but if an alien
is implicated stuff? I don't get that.
If an alien is represented by counsel, then he should... Let me rephrase that. Under the statute, INA Section 240, an alien has a right to present evidence, to cross-examine witnesses.
I'm fine with the statute. I just don't know where you got a constitutional issue.
I mean, the way if we agreed with your view, every single case would have, a constitutional question.
Regarding, Your Honor, the ability of an alien to prosecute his case in front of the immigration court, where the attorney renders an effective assistance.
I don't see how they would grant cancellation here. This person has a very long criminal record and his business with Adams in it. Why, you wouldn't want to have a person like this as an American citizen.
Your Honor, he is not applied for citizenship
he's
here.
Not the
he's
worst
applied.
Criminal, you know, not anything like that. But he's not a... If he's entitled to cancellation of removal, who isn't?
Your Honor, that question would be someone who continued to commit additional offenses while incarcerated.
Continue to commit criminal offenses too, isn't he?
He's awfully young.
Your Honor, he is young, and as of the filing of our opening brief, he had turned age 30, at a point which men tend, I believe, to settle down a bit.
Oh, so, are you wrong?
30? You don't think there are criminals in their 30s? I mean, really.
Your Honors, his family did come out in support of him, and while this briefing process has been going on, he has been released from custody of the Department of Homeland Security on an order of supervision. So as far as this record is concerned, we believe that there is additional evidence which his prior attorney could and should have presented to the immigration judge. Regarding the BIA and the claim of ineffective assistance of counsel, This court has held before that the failure to file an appeal brief after checking the box on the notice of appeal that one would be filed.
Ineffective assistance or, you know, sub-professional assistance, you have to show prejudice. You have to show that it would have made a difference in the outcome, or would be highly likely to make a difference in the outcome. That doesn't seem plausible here.
Your Honor, regarding whether the filing of the brief would have made a difference in the outcome, the failure of the attorney to do so left Mr. Minga essentially on his own. The briefing deadline was blown.
That is true if you don't have effective assistance, right?
That is true, Your Honor.
What makes you think that the lawyer would have made the difference? He's not going to wipe out his criminal record. What's the lawyer going to do?
He could have argued, Your Honor, that the judge improperly weighed the factors before him. He could have gone into the testimony.
Why would they weigh it improperly?
I'm sorry, Judge?
Why would they weigh it improperly?
That one of the issues with Matter Sotelo in a cancellation of removal case is that the court is supposed to balance the totality of the circumstances in a cancellation case. And the attorney could have briefed that and submitted an appeal brief instead of potentially subjecting Mr. Minga to summary dismissal. If the attorney was not going to file an appeal brief, he could have advised Mr. Minga to seek new counsel before the appellate deadline. And an attorney could have filed a motion to remand properly documented with the additional evidence that Mr. Minga alleged in his appeal brief would have been presented. Thank you, Your Honors.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Maldini Paterman.
May it please the Court, my name is Colin Tucker. I'm appearing today on behalf of the Attorney General. At the outset, I would suggest that this Court unfortunately lacks jurisdiction.
You know, the Board's ruling on the motion to remand was discretionary.
Indeed it was, Your Honor.
But you seem to suggest in your jurisdictional statement that we lack jurisdiction to review the ruling. But you didn't develop that point in your brief. So what really is the government's position on our jurisdiction?
The government's position is that because the petitioner here is asserting only that the Board abused its discretion in denying his motion to remand on the basis of ineffective assistance of counsel. But during agency proceedings, petitioner sought a purely discretionary form of relief, and because of that, he has no liberty or property interest at stake. Denial of that discretionary relief thus cannot give rise to a due process claim.
How have you fared in other circuits with that argument?
It varies from circuit to circuit, Your Honor. Here in this circuit, I think it is essentially parallel to this Court's ruling in 2004 in Dave v. Ashcroft, where virtually the same issue, the same discretionary form of relief, ineffective assistance of counsel was asserted, and this Court found it had no jurisdiction. I would suggest that, to be honest, that the jurisdiction issue is straightforward and dispositive. I'm prepared to forego any further presentation in lieu of any questions from this Court.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Ms. Baldini-Paterman, do you have something further?
Your Honors, as noted in our reply for the 28J letter, the Real ID Act changed the prior landscape that was this Court decided Day versus Ashcroft under. Under the Real ID Act, this Court does now have jurisdiction over questions of law and constitutional claims as INA Section 242 was amended. We submit that this Court does have jurisdiction to review the claims presented in Mr. Minga's petition for review. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Ms. Baldini, Chairman. Next.